Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy question mark Wednesday, everybody.
I guess.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of day where we just sit back and reflect and think about how meaningless our lives are.
Start playing the Smiths.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the first song out of this.
Slowed down version of Hey Hey Hockey Town.
Right.
Hey Hey Hockey Town.
In a minor key.
Choir.
Right. See, that's the kind of, if I actually had real production ability, I could have done something like that.
So the wing season is over, but wow, what an exciting last couple of games. They put themselves in this situation where they needed those last two, and they shouldn't have, because they had shown that they were able to get a lot done in the season. But
one more point somewhere during that losing streak would have been great.
Yeah. I mean, you can't lose to Arizona twice. You can't lose to San Jose twice and expect to do anything in even sniff the playoffs.
You can't lose to San Jose once, let's be honest here.
But those games from behind, I mean, yeah, it was against Montreal. They should have had them dead to rights from the opening faceoff. But
oh, without a doubt.
Lucas Raymond. This kid is he's a 31-goal season for the kid. And, he's going to be a stud. He's going to be a stud in this league, hopefully for the winged wheel for the rest of his time.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So the playoffs are set, and I guess we could talk today or we could talk later on about, you know, our brackets.
Oh, yes.
How things are going to happen. Washington, I'm hoping you're enjoying your time in there. I don't think you're going to be able to go seven games with the Rangers. In fact, I have Rangers in five.
Okay.
If I could tilt my cards ever so slightly.
As you do.
But, I don't know, we'll get back into that.
We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, yeah.
This is wings time, man.
Why? I mean,
Because they're our local team, Adam.
No, I got that part. But I'm sitting there, and they had the Washington-Philly game on the bottom right of my screen.
Yes.
And Washington makes it 2-1.
On an empty netter.
Empty netter with the score tied. Tortorella, you broke our hearts.
Torts, this is all your fault. We were rooting for I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Yeah. you piece. And
you did this. What did we do to deserve such disrespect?
Yeah, right. And, I mean, in his post-game news press conference, he was like, yeah, I had heard about Detroit after that whole thing happened, but he knew he had to win in regulation to make the playoffs, so he made a coach's decision. But with the score tied, he pulled the goalie, and Washington capitalized. It's scary enough with
what
the
you
two
did there.
Well, I didn't even realize what I did there, but yes, I'm a genius. I mean, I don't like it when they pull the goaltender 2 minutes left to go in the game, because it just always seems to go in favor of the team that has a goalie on the ice.
It's worked for us before. I think this season.
It worked Monday.
Yeah.
It worked Monday, but more often than not, you see you get another easy goal handed on you because you pull the goaltender.
I mean, it does seem to fail more often than not, admittedly, but you got to at least make the attempt, right?
Yeah, no, I get it. I will say that those last couple of games had that playoff atmosphere where it, you know, me and Dorothy, usually she's in the kitchen or she's playing her game. She was right there with me, and I'm like, oh, they're going to lose. There's no way they're going to tie it up. She's like, have faith. They've done it before. And she was right. Sure enough, David Perron fires one in, ties it at 4-4. And then they win in the shootout, making it 5-4. And it had that playoff atmosphere. And I loved it. The game before with Raymond just unloading on him. That was great. That was a lot of fun, which leads a lot of NHL fans clamoring. There's been a lot of talk this morning about a play-in game format for the playoffs.
No, absolutely not. I'm not okay with this.
You wouldn't like that.
No. Arguably too many teams already. Half of the field already makes the playoffs in the NHL. We don't need. I don't feel any need to expand that.
I think I don't know how they would do it with the rest of the teams, but good. But yeah, 16 teams out of 32 make the playoffs.
That's enough. That's, you know, arguably too much. I'm fine with it just the way it is. I mean, right now it's a nice system where you have where you do have these teams who get. You know, an 8 seed that occasionally can upset the one, like,
it happens.
You know, back
it
when you actually still seeded these things.
I know, because a lot of times the Wings were number one, and they get bounced by a number 8. But somebody on X, formerly Twitter,
says,
it sucks for St. Louis, who was eliminated with more points than Washington. A play-in would be a way to fix that.
Yeah, I don't really care enough about St. Louis to encourage that sort of thing.
Of course not. I mean, we're not exactly blues country out here, but the point's there.
I'd still disagree with the point, though. Like, no.
I would think
if you somehow can't finish in the top half of teams in the NHL, then you don't deserve to make the playoffs, period, full stop.
Well, I guess I read through the article, but I didn't really find where they decide what teams would be available in a playoff. It wouldn't be like, you couldn't find somebody who was a dead last in the Atlantic playing in to get, I mean, you'd have to have a certain qualification, right?
Well, I imagine, depending on how many, how do they do it in the NBA? Because this is where, again, we admit that we don't have a clue how the hell the NBA works because we don't watch basketball here.
Oh, basketball. That's basketball.
That's
the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, that sport.
There's like the peach basket kind of thing.
Yep, exactly that. Like with the play-in tournament, it's the top, basically determines your final two playoff seeds. So it would be 7 through 10 in the standings. So we'd be adding basically the 9th and 10th seed in each conference or whatever to that. No, I'm not okay with that. Like if you can't even finish in the top half of your conference, top half of your league, you don't deserve to be there. And quite frankly, we've made it all too easy to make the playoffs in many of these sports as it is. Like, it just cheapens the regular season further.
Well, there's still a lot of talk about this. And because there's a lot of talk, shows that people want the excitement back in the first part of the playoffs. Once you start getting into the conference finals, the Stanley Cup finals, it gets really exciting. But a lot of this particular playoff scenario that you have, they implemented what?
The divisional?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This has got to go. This is so boring. I mean, you know, let's just look at the Atlantic. You pretty much know three teams that are going to be meeting each other in the first round.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's going to be the same teams.
Like you're like getting all the what would be the marquee matchups out of the way in the first round.
Yeah, that doesn't help your ratings.
That doesn't do anything for anybody.
No, they need to go. They need to go back
to a straight 1-8.
1-8. I think that you know. I think that would quiet down the people of a play-in game, which I'm for. You're against. And
strongly
it would
against.
Get rid of this boring divisional matchup thing.
Which we're both against.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to, like, really bolster within division rivalries, but they're already there. You meet each other enough during the regular season, they're going to be there.
Yeah.
Give me a situation. I mean, I want to, if it was a 1-8, if my math is correct, and, you know, a lot of times it's not. You would have New York Rangers against... was it the Tampa Bay Lightning? Because the Rangers right now are at 114. Congratulations on their President's Trophy.
Right.
Against 96 points, Tampa Bay. I mean, I'd have to like really sit down and crack through this, but then you would have Carolina over Florida.
Which would be a decent matchup for the first round.
No, I mean, it would be Carolina 2, Florida 3.
Okay.
Carolina would be playing... I would have to realize that. I think it would be Carolina and Toronto.
Oh, Toronto.
Yeah. So that'd be a lot of fun. But as of
and we could go back to having them get knocked out of the first round.
But instead,
as it should be,
is the way God intended.
Exactly. So yeah, the Rangers would be facing. Let me get these. So it'd be the Capitals Rangers Caps in the first round, and I'm either way, which I'm entirely fine with because they're going to get destroyed.
That's what you've got now is the Rangers Caps.
Isles taking on the Hurricanes, which also basically is the way you already have it. Yeah, maybe. So like in this case, it actually works
anyway,
out.
Anyway, back after this. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Batman's like, yeah, keep talking.
The Battle of Florida in the first round, and then Boston and Toronto.
Yep.
So, like, in that, so this year it works out that way that those would be your 1-8.
Yep.
But let's look at the other league. Dallas would be taking otherwise on, they'd be taking on the Kings. Good. Let's get that matchup out of the way in the first round. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Vegas would be taking on Vancouver. Okay. Interdivisional matchup there. Nashville would take on Winnipeg, another divisional anyway, but then your other one would be Colorado and Edmonton in the first round, and I'd be fine with that.
That would be a good first round matchup, but not the big marquee one. You don't want to have Toronto. What do they got now? Is Toronto and Boston in the first round? You don't want that,
right?
Not in the first round. That's a ratings killer right there.
Yeah, I mean, well, Florida kind of screwed that up for you by being better than both of those teams this season.
Florida did not get the memo. You lost in the Stanley Cup Finals. You were supposed to be terrible for a couple of years.
Sophomore slump. Didn't anyone tell you? What the hell?
Yeah, right.
God, what are we even doing here?
Apparently, Florida, they just don't understand tradition.
Exactly. It's a damn shame.
But we'll talk about the matchups later on. Maybe today, maybe later on in the week.
We'll burn those bridges when we get to it.
Yep.
It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Plenty to do. Let's hit a break right now, though. We'll come back and we'll do some stuff. We have argued about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees pretty much every year that we've done this show, and usually spend quite a bit of time just
we are usually
shouting each other that how wrong the other one is.
Well, we're pretty much in lockstep of a lot of people, but there's been a
you didn't agree
times.
With me on the MC5, and you're the Michigan music guy.
Shut up. no, I mean, but there's a couple that we've kind of strayed upon, I guess. You have a fork in the road. This year, I don't know how I feel about this, but this is where they're going. The 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees will be revealed.
They'll be relieved of their duties. Sorry, guys, we're not going to need you this year.
They'll be relieving themselves on the stage wow. of American Idol.
Oh, so the rock and roll's biggest stage is gonna happen on the least rock and roll thing on television. Interesting.
A contest, yes. The inductees will be announced by American Idol host Ryan Seacrest along with Judge Lionel Richie.
I forgot he was still hosting that stupid show.
Yeah, that's... see, when is this supposed to all happen?
That's
episode will air 8 to 10 Eastern Standard Time, so on April 21st.
Okay.
April 21st.
I'll be sure to not
and
watch.
Mariah Carey, a past Idol judge, is among the year's nominees for the Rock and Roll for the Rock Hall, along with Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Eric B. and Rakim.
Rakim. Eric B. and Rakim, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Jane's Addiction, Kool and the Gang, Lenny Kravitz, Oasis, Sinead O'Connor, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest. Now, here's where it gets really weird. In that same episode, Gene Simmons will serve as a guest mentor for the top 14 Idol contenders.
Really?
Yeah. And what? How are you going to mentor them?
I mean, you're tell not... them how to sell their rights to like everything and slap their name on literally any product that exists.
Yeah. You're about to win American Idol. At least you're going to owe them your half of your earnings from now until the end of time. You need a casket. You need to have your name on a casket.
Exactly. Like, how else are you going to ever make your money back to these people?
So, I mean, this isn't like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame celebration or anything like that, where they actually bring the inductees up. But it's being announced on American Idol. I don't know how they used to do it, but
I think they just had like a ceremony of some sort, or they just posted on Facebook. I don't know.
I guess.
I honestly don't remember.
I guess Fox is just like, hey, listen, this American Idol thing. First of all, wasn't American Idol gone for a while there? I mean,
is it back on Fox? I thought they moved it to like NBC or ABC or something.
See, that's how much I don't know. I'm assuming I thought it was on Fox. So yeah, maybe they moved it to ABC, but it was just like for the American Idol was huge when it first came out.
You couldn't get away from it. It seemed like
I could probably name like the first five winners of American Idol, but now like not a
one. I could name you like the first one, and that's about it.
Yeah, there's not a one. But so okay, I guess that's how they're going to do it. And then I hear that the induction the ceremony itself is not going to be on HBO like it has been. I believe I think that's going to be on ABC as well. So
okay, is it going to be broadcast at all? That was probably the condition. All right, fine. We'll put your little induction show on our network, but damn it, we're going to see some sweet corporate synergy out of this one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the most there's nothing more rock and roll than corporate synergy, let's be honest here.
Yeah.
Like that's disappointing quite frankly that in their attempts to like keep this thing relevant in some way, shape, or form.
The Hall or American Idol?
Yes.
Both.
That they've just... Like, this is the most sellout thing the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame could have possibly done, and that's saying a lot considering that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a thing that exists.
I think the ceremonies should start having this crossroads thing where if you want to perform, you got to mix it up with... like, let's put Ozzy Osbourne with Mary J. Blige.
Okay. I'm fine with this.
You can't push Shanae O'Connor in there because
she's kind of dead.
Yeah, she's a goner.
Yeah.
How about Foreigner with Dave Matthews Band? Something like that.
Oh my God, that sounds like the worst thing ever.
No, Foreigner and Jane's Addiction. That'd be fun.
That would be an interesting time. Also, if Foreigner even gets in, like, is anyone from the original act going to even be there to accept? Because you know, Foreigner's just a tribute band at this point. Like. Yep. Mick Jones is the last original member, and he doesn't show up for most of their concerts.
He'll probably show up for that. Who's a singer?
Lou Gramm.
He might show up for that.
He might not. I don't know. Like, I don't know what their relationship with him is.
They might put some protective fencing up on the stage. They may claw each other like a bunch of pit bulls, but, you know.
True.
It's, I don't know. I'd like to see them bury the hatchet for that moment if they get in,
which I feel like they will get in. I don't know if there's like any.
Foreigner is pretty much a tribute act. Leonard Skinner is pretty much a tribute act at this point.
I think Leonard Skinner is officially a tribute act now because like the last original member of the band is now I believe dead. So there's no anybody left. It's just you know Johnny Van Zandt's little brother trying to carry on and like act like Leonard Skinner was always you know this like you know. Confederate loving, you know, right wing whatever, like American patriot whatever. When your brother was singing songs about gun control back in the 70s, dude, get off it.
Have you listened to his lyrics? So
ever listen to Saturday Night Special? I'm just saying it doesn't exactly, I don't think, line up with your current worldview, bud.
Yeah, exactly. So I did hear an interesting fact on the way in. Little side note, surprising side note is Journey's greatest hits. Today is it's marked 800th consecutive week in the Billboard Top 200. Only two other acts have been able to pull that off, and that was Dark Side of the Moon and Billy Idol. How you doing? Legend from Who Shot the Sheriff?
Eric Clapton?
No.
Bob Marley?
Bob Marley, thank you. Wow, okay. that was good.
That was painful.
Yeah, people screaming at the radio, Bob Marley, stupid. And Grace Hits, yeah, I mean, that came out, 1988, and has gone, it was certified diamond, 10 million sales back in 1999, so it's had to go twice that amount. It's been streaming. I heard that.
That amounts to 800 consecutive weeks?
800 consecutive weeks.
So it's been for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
Is what that breaks down
top
to.
Top 200. Billboard's top 200. So, I mean, interesting.
I can't believe people are actually still buying it.
It's a great record.
I mean, in that people don't already have these songs?
I know, right? Well, I mean, so they probably bought it on vinyl when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Then, they bought it on cassette for the car. And then CD. And then they're like, well, then they bought it on iTunes. And bought the vinyl reissue.
Oh yeah, they're always going to get you one way or the other.
Oh, absolutely. Another music note here. This one's got. You don't have any tattoos, do you, Sean?
I do not.
You're probably not going to get this kind of tattoo. James Hetfield from Metallica got a tattoo on his middle finger. It's a Motorhead theme tattoo with Lemmy Kilmister's ashes in the ink.
That's pretty awesome.
A lot of people were giving bullets after Lemmy was cremated. The bullets contained Lemmy's ashes, and Hetfield decided to have the ashes put into the ink and tattoo the Ace of Spade right on his middle finger.
Okay, that's pretty damn awesome. I don't care who the hell you are.
Yeah. So I think on his Twitter account, this is something about he'll always be flying higher. Oh, so now he is still able to fly the bird, at the world. That's what he said. So yeah, I was like, oh, okay. In latest news, James Hetfield's middle finger had to be amputated.
Right, that would be mighty disappointing, and I don't want to know where the hell that ends up.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has his middle finger.
Right,
with on Lemmy's
with ashes. The ashes on it, yeah. There you go. Oh, here's Oasis at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. Edwin Collins at your local alternative, Solid State Radio.
So I started following a Facebook page called Bitchy Waiter, and I'm checking out some of the stuff, and I was... it came to my attention because somebody had written a letter to a restaurant in regards to their Easter brunch.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes like this. Dear Chris, Chris is the manager. This is an anonymous letter, by the way.
Of course.
With a big sticky, I'm going to show it to you, like a little chef's hat, like a scrapbooking kind of frowny face on it.
Mm.
I want to express my feelings about your Easter brunch at your restaurant. The food was excellent and the service was good. Compliments to the chef. I was disappointed in the way the staff was dressed, especially the hostess who greeted you as you entered. To reveal that much of her cleavage is not appropriate, especially for a family gathering on Easter. It is distasteful to have my grandsons experience that kind of apparel. I have the courtesy to inform you of this experience rather than going to the media or writing an editorial to the newspaper.
Go. What's the media going to do about it?
Yeah.
Other than, you know, put this girl and her cleavage front and center on the news, which seems like it would have the opposite effect that you're hoping for, but would definitely have a different sort of reaction on us. So, yeah. Like, thanks for that.
Come on down to Chris's Steakhouse where we have the bustiest hostess in town.
Right?
You saw about this on Channel 9. Come on down.
I feel like it would be a great just boon for business.
I mean, this person has got to be like 90-something years old because she didn't say anything about social media. She's like, I would write this to the paper where nobody will read it.
Right. I'll write a sternly worded letter to the editor. Like, even online with the newspapers now, I don't know if you can probably still send letters to the editor, but I don't think they even publish them on their website because they know no one gives a crap.
Nobody cares. And if she's 90, her grandsons are probably 30s, 40s. Distasteful to have my grandsons experience that kind of apparel. They probably loved it. It's like, let's go back to Chris's Steakhouse. Mom, where do you want to go for Mother's Day? Oh, we've already figured it out. We're going to Chris's Steakhouse because I think Tiffany's still hosting.
Yeah, your grandsons will never want to go to any other restaurant.
Exactly.
People are really like this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. We're not on FM today, so I say, who doesn't love tits? Who doesn't love a nice set of breasts?
You know who doesn't is women who don't have them. Like, I don't know how many times like you'll hear of women getting upset with servers or just other customers at a place for showing too much cleavage. My husband was looking at you. Well, then your problem is with your husband,
not the server.
Why don't you pop out some titty, honey?
Right.
I mean, they may be a little saggy, but you know what? The respect is there. Come on, queen.
This will probably do the job at the end of the day.
Yeah. I mean, don't get mad at somebody because they are comfortable with their body and you're not comfortable with yours.
Right. I'd be mad at them for being well endowed.
Yeah, right.
Sure. You know, you can fix that sort of thing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of good plastic surgeons out there that turn those 38 longs back to the 38 Ds they're supposed to be, baby.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Some people, man. I tell you.
Yeah, it was terrible. I took my grandsons in there, and they saw her cleavage. And all, next thing you know, at the buffet, all they got was mashed potatoes, and they were just turning into round things, making motorboats. It was terrible.
They were fighting in the parking lot to see which one was going to give her their number.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What would you like to drink? Milk. Milk. Lots of milk. It was just horrible.
those poor kids who are probably grown adults who are just scarred for life now.
My husband, God bless him, he was just mumbling to himself the entire ride home. Something about blah 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 blah. Something about suckling something. I don't know what it was, but that was just horrible.
I can't believe he had to be exposed to that.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would have really liked to have been exposed to more of that, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, hi, how many are you? Six of you? Okay, right this way. And like, yeah. And meanwhile, she's like, oh my God, I feel inadequate because she's feeling comfortable with her body. I'm going to send a letter. And not just that, I'm also going to put some stupid scrapbook stickers on there of a chef's hat and a frowny face. Just because I'm a complete a-hole.
I'm also the kind of person that will let a perfectly great meal and service at a restaurant be ruined by a set of boobs.
Oh yeah. You know, they're trying to enjoy their meal. They're trying to have a nice conversation.
And she's just sitting there just thinking about those titties the entire time.
Yeah, me. I'm thinking there's some underlying thing here. She's probably thinking, like, she just got out of church. She's thinking about the teachings of the Lord, and all she's thinking about is, like, 1950s, little Betty Sue was coming on to me. I should have just got on top of it.
Why didn't I miss my chance? What was I thinking?
Oh, that's right, because I'm a good Christian girl, which means I didn't have any fun.
And it means I'm now going to take it out on the rest of the world.
That's right. And she says, I wish to remain anonymous.
Well, I mean, I guess she did. I mean,
yeah. Oh, she would have stayed anonymous when she would.
She would have just not written the letter,
or wrote a letter to an editor, or put it in the newspaper, because nobody would give a damn.
I say she would have gone to the media while I tried to go on TV about. Yeah, I want to be anonymous as I'm standing here on camera.
Yeah, your name's like Gladys or
Priscilla,
Linda, or something like that. You're old, honey. You're old. Just lay it down.
Yeah, like
that was probably your last Easter meal, and you're worried about titties.
I don't truly understand. I mean,
true Easter, my husband has risen in his pants.
Yeah, the fact that you couldn't stop thinking about that, Rack, really suggests that the problem is not with the hostess or the rest of your dining companions, that perhaps it's you.
Yes, it's you. She shouldn't feel, the hostess shouldn't feel shame about what she's, as long as they were covered up. Hey, if they weren't covered up.
Even better.
Mike's Steakhouse or something like that would probably. Yeah.
Some Twin Peaks or something would take in a heartbeat. Yeah. So it's not like she's going to be wanting for work. That's for damn sure.
No, she'll be just fine.
Yeah, I would say so. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Hope you enjoyed seeing them at Coachella, because apparently you're never going to see them again. Blur at your local alternative Solid State Radio. That whole thing was just so stupid. Like, they're not. The funny thing is, like, I've heard, like, eyewitness accounts from Coachella that apparently, no, the crowd was getting into it. They were singing along with it, like, and everything. Like, just Blur was just being, or Damon Albarn was just being pissy about the whole thing. Why are you so pissy?
Maybe it wasn't the crowd. Maybe it was something about the promoters or sound people or.
Well, I mean, Coachella is also, like, the most hipster of all of the. Of all the big festival events. And I'm sure there was plenty of people in the crowd that didn't know what was going on. But, I mean. Come on, you're sandwiched right between, like, Sublime and No Doubt. I think the people there probably know who the hell you are, at least for the woohoo song.
Yeah, as soon as they took the stage, people were like, play the woohoo song. It's called song number two. Just play it. Play it and get off. I like, saw Soul Asylum at Lapeer Days. They're taking the stage. Guy next to me apparently had never been to a concert before. He's like, play Runaway Train. Yeah, they're going to open up with a ballad, which is also their biggest hit. That's a great idea.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, they were gonna leave the song off that list entirely.
Yeah.
Before you had the idea to yell that at them.
Yeah, everybody thank this Jack and Ape over here. Good job.
Yeah, because they weren't even gonna play it tonight, but then you reminded, oh, that's right, our basically our only big hit. Yeah, we should probably do that one tonight.
I mean, Coachella has kind of become kind of like a big hipster kind of trendy kind of thing as opposed to what it's supposed to be. Kind of like
what Birdie is it supposed Man. To be?
Hipster trendy. But I would have liked to have seen the No Doubt set and the Sublime set. That'd have been pretty cool.
Right. I wouldn't mind seeing the No Doubt set because I don't know if we're gonna get that ever again. Like it's not really entirely certain whether that's going to extend beyond. Like there have been talk about potentially tour dates, but I don't know if that's really gonna be a thing. The Sublime thing, I don't know how much I care about that. Like not that I'm okay towards Sublime. Like I certainly like some of their tunes, but for me, like this is now like the second or third different singer you've tried to revive this band with.
It's a guy's kid.
It's the guy's kid, but it's like
yeah.
Unless he really just absolutely nails it, I wonder then would they actually try and put out new music with him?
Maybe. I don't know because I didn't really hear much about Sublime until that guy died. I'm saying that guy because I'm trying to avoid the fact that I can't remember the cat's name. Bradley
Noel.
Yeah. So, but I would have liked to have seen that show.
Oh, sure.
I mean, if they were coming to town or something, I'd probably not see them. But No Doubt, I'd probably go check that out.
I'd go out of my way to check that one out, probably. Yeah, the Sublime thing, like, it's so weird because you had them try and carry on with the name with a different lead singer slash guitarist who basically changed the sound of the band when he came in. Like, they started doing all those songs with the Dirty Heads and things like that. Like, it just, why even call it that? And then I think the original drummer left. It was just the bass player from the original band. It's like, how can we reasonably call this? But then conveniently he joins back up as soon as Brad's kid wants in.
Yep. Keeping his memory alive.
Something like that. Here's Nirvana, your local alternative solid state radio. Glass Animals at your local alternative solid state radio.
And I got some good news for myself. I enjoy this kind of stuff. I love documentaries.
Yeah.
But none was better than Behind the Music. Loved Behind the Music when that started like in 97 and all that stuff. Well, Paramount Plus, you may or may not remember, they released quite a few new ones.
They did?
In 2021, they did. They recut some of the other ones, like the Motley Crue one, to add because stuff had happened. Because like the one Motley Crue one came out in like 1999, and then
there's been like three breakups since then, and so all the Mick Mars nonsense.
No, they didn't. They're probably gonna do another cut just to add the Mick Mars and bring in the John 5. But I mean, I guess when it comes to that, I mean, it's the history of a band is ever progressing, so they could recut them. They have three new episodes coming on May 1st, and the one that would maybe pique the interest of our listeners is Wolfgang Van Halen.
Now, how in the hell is Wolfgang Van Halen already getting behind the music? Don't you already have to have had your big moment of fame, like you're being the most popular thing in the universe, and then
you fail.
The fall.
And then the redemption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've barely gotten to the fame part, much less the fall and the redemption. I don't understand.
They probably talking about, I mean, understand this is not Mammoth WVH Behind the Music. This is on Wolfgang, and it says, Wolfgang Van Halen reveals a story that's wrought with trauma, perseverance, and immense talent. Born to guitar god Eddie Van Halen and actress Valerie Bertinelli, Wolfgang instantly became bound to music. As he developed his own sound, Wolfgang turned his solo project, Mammoth WVH, before tragedy struck. Eddie's death rocked his son's world, but Wolfgang solidified his music career with a sound all of his own while continuing to honor his father's legacy. So there's going to be a lot of Eddie Van Halen talk in this.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of piggybacking.
It's just going to all be about Eddie Van Halen and Wolfgang. Like, wasn't this show supposed to be about me? Who are you again?
So Eddie, let me ask you. I mean, Wolfgang. Wolfie. What do I call you? But yeah, So, I mean, there's probably going to be like, oh, yeah, I remember going on tour with my dad for this. I remember being on the Balance album cover. And when I was, you know, 20 pounds or whatever when I was a kid. Now I'm 250 pounds or 300 pounds. You know, I used to look like my dad. Now I look like my mom.
Damn. You have to put Wolfgang Van Halen on the apology list
and
now.
And Valerie Bertinelli, because one day at a time, oh, was she a cutie. Oh, my God. I mean, she's still cute, but she's a real chunk woman. but yeah, they're going to be having episodes of Belle Biv DeVoe and Trace Adkins.
Okay, I could see. No, I don't know if I can really see. Like, where's the fall from grace for Trace Adkins exactly?
Wow, which one was he?
Honky Tonk Badonka Donk.
Oh yeah, Trace Adkins.
Like,
didn't he? I remember something.
The guy who's responsible for all the stupid bro country BS out there now.
Maybe that's the fall. And
the falls, and then Florida Georgia Line happened. And it's all his fault.
Back after this. It's behind the music. And now, Trace Adkins, he works in a soup kitchen. Both as a customer and as a ladler. So, no, I mean,
he realized what horror he wrought upon the universe and decided that all he could do was try and make it right.
I'm just doing my best, man, trying to repent with the Lord. That I know what I've done. I know the trap beat music.
Morgan Wallen's probably my fault on some level, and so I just hope for that, I can only hope to maybe someday win your forgiveness.
The third act of Behind the Music is just going, I'm so sorry. Lord, the Jimmy Swaggart apology, crying apology.
Yes.
I mean,
I am so sorry for what I've done. Can you ever forgive me? Forgive me, VH1, for I have sinned. Wait, me, it's not on VH1 anymore.
Yeah, right. It's on Paramount Plus. Oh, nobody gets that. I'm fine. No, they came out with a bunch of them in 2021. I'm trying to remember which ones those were.
Were the newer ones?
Yeah, I mean, because before it was basically rock and hip hop. Or, like, you know, pop acts. But yeah. Now, I mean, now they're, like, getting it more into, like, the country and everything else.
I mean, they did a few country ones back. I mean, they did, like, Willie Nelson at one point.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. You got to have one with Willie.
Well,
Willie makes sense. Great rock, great humble beginnings. Big stardom. Big fall.
Yeah.
He had the tax.
The tax evasion, the fact that he's going to have to tour until he's like 100 years old now.
He's going to have to keep touring. He has to be a hologram because to pay the IRS. I love Sam Kinison's bit. It's like, he thought he owed Texas. That's why he kept throwing that party every year for free. No, Willie, taxes, not Texas. But I used to love Behind the Music. Even if I didn't give a damn about the people they were talking about, like Tony Orlando and Dawn. Still never heard of Tony Orlando or Dawn, either one of them. But I sat there and watched that entire Behind the Music. Boy George, I watched that one. That was funny.
Yeah, that was probably a great one.
Oh, some of them were just fantastic. The Black Crowes one was so funny because Nick, how you doing? I'm just Chris and
the other brother.
Yeah. Chris and Rich Robinson, they just hate each other. Even on there, they're just talking crap about each other. And then the drummer, Steve, he was just like, yeah, I think these two just needed to beat the hell out of each other. And then you got the Oasis one. That was brilliant.
Oh, yes.
but my favorite one. And it's not just because it's one of my favorite bands, but the one of Poison. And people who will sit there and don't even like Poison will say, that is one of the best Behind the Musics ever, because at one point you realize by watching Behind the Music Poison is that when you're fired from Poison, you're getting fired. There was like two guitar players. They pull over on the side of the road, throw you and everything you own off the bus and drive right on.
Wow.
They beat the hell out of CC DeVille and kicked him off. Richie Kotzen, they found out he was banging Ricky Rocket, the drummer's girlfriend.
Oh my God!
The Poison, they may wear more makeup than your mama, but they'll whoop you. And then the Motley Crue one is like, oh, how are this is before the Dirt movie, kids. How are they not dead? How are they all not dead?
How have they not killed each other?
How have they not killed each other? Because Tommy Lee and Vince Neil, they're glycerin and nitrile over there.
And yet somehow they're still in the band and Mick Mars isn't.
Somebody explain. I mean, I get it. Mick Mars has his bones all fusing together and they have to like have a lot of things to tour, to make things so he can tour. So I get it. And John Five is a great guitar player, local guy. But then you find out, it's like, all of a sudden, Mick Mars is spilling the tea. Like, apparently, Nikki Sixx, apparently he was not the bass player on those records, those first five records.
Really?
Yeah, it was the real famous woman bass player from, like, the old days. I'm drawing a blank. Oh, my God. And she's a great bass player. I want to say Carole King, but that ain't right.
No, that's definitely not right.
And apparently he doesn't play live either.
It's all pre-recorded?
Yeah.
Allegedly?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, so you can pre-record the bass line, but yet Vince Neil comes out sounding like Porky Pig with a shock collar.
Yeah, you couldn't use a track for the vocals.
Yeah, we tried, man.
And that's their defense. Like, you really think we're using backing tracks? Have you heard Vince Neil in the last 20 years? That's all him.
Yeah, there's no backing tracks at all. Meanwhile, Nikki Sixx is like, oh man, checking out my cuticles over here.
Which, I mean, come on, I say this as a bass player. You're a bass player. You really just can't play the damn tracks, like. Because, like, this is not, I mean, that's not even the first we've heard about a band, like, not, with a guy who's, like, not actually playing on the recordings. I mean, yeah, the Sid Vicious thing, where they hired the old guy to play the parts on the record.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi's bass player, originally.
Yeah, John Such.
He doesn't play on any of those records.
No.
Like, how is it that the bass player can't manage to lay down any of this stuff? Like, I don't, as a bass player, I don't get that. Like, it's the easiest gig in the band. I'll be the first one to admit it.
I mean, some of these episodes were just fantastic. I'm kind of want to go home and check some
just
of the
other.
The MC Hammer one was just great. It's like he's like, "Am I broke? No, I'm not broke, but I can't. I mean, I you know, buying a $10 million house when you have an $11 million in the bank, not a good idea." I really loved it when they started doing like the years, like they did one just for 1992 when I graduated. I mean, grunge was coming up there, and a lot of the great hip hop was coming out in 92. That was a great time. Or 1984 when you had like pop music, but it was pop music with an edge. You had Madonna, you had, you know, Wham, and all that stuff. They had a whole Behind the Music on Studio 54, which was so, so interesting. I love these. I want to go back and watch all of these Behind the Musics if I can find them. They need to have them all streaming somewhere.
They probably do.
I would hope so. I would sincerely hope so.
And
they had a Behind the Music Motorhead? No.
Yeah.
They did?
Yes,
I have never seen that. I need to see the Motorhead.
Well, I feel
second
like...
Second time Motorhead has found its way on the show today.
Right. I feel like I know how we're going to be spending our NHL offseason now.
That's right.
It's happy hour at Solid State Radio.
That's it. It's over.
Jack Daniels!
It is happy hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio as you get set to get the hell out of Dodge here on a Wednesday afternoon. But don't worry, a full hour of local original music comes your way next at a little show we like to call Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya.